Everyday Health Media produced that. That's Adam Levine who's speaking. Alan Schwartz, you wrote a series of pieces in the New York Times. What about this?
Well, hey, it's fair enough. If you had ADHD as a child, you might still have it. About 50% of adults will retain their symptoms and perhaps even impairment as adults. So it's a fair message. But if you take the quiz at ownyouradhd.com and you look up in the top right-hand corner, it's sponsored by Shire, the maker of Intuniv, Vyvanse, and in the past, Adderall XR. Now, if you take the quiz, we gave the quiz to 1,100 Americans, scientifically, over the phone. It was legitimate. 48% of them took this six-question quiz and were told through the algorithm that ADHD was either possible or possibly likely, which is a curious diagnosis. Anyway, it's the test is rigged to get people to think they have the disorder, and that's very powerful.
I mean, I've got it right here in your piece in the New York Times. You lay out the six questions, and how often do you have trouble wrapping up the final details of a project once the challenging parts have been done? How often do you have difficulty getting things in order when you have to do a task that requires organization? How often do you have problems remembering appointments or obligations? When you have a task that requires a lot of thought, how often do you avoid or delay getting started? How often do you fidget or squirm with your hands or feet when you sit down for a long time? And how often do you feel overly active and compelled to do things like you were driven by a motor?
But again, I don't blame the test for human beings' misuse of it. It is our fault. What they don't say in there is that these symptoms are supposed to be severe, and they're supposed to impair your daily life and functioning. And if they meet that standard, then you really do have ADHD.
We have very little time. Jameson Monroe, who is coming to you at your clinic? You who are a recovering, as you describe it, Adderall addict, the Newport Academy Rehabilitation Center.
So one thing that I want to highlight real quick is in one of Alan's previous pieces, he had a great quote from a pediatrician, and this is something that I love that Dr. Mate addresses as well. And a pediatrician quote said, "I don't have a whole lot of choice. We've decided as a society that it's too expensive to modify the kid's environment, the school environment, parenting. So we have to modify the kid." So, you know, like we're saying here, we've kind of been pushed into a corner. We need to develop, you know, parenting skills. We need to expand the school offerings, creative arts, creative outlets, things like that. So what we see at Newport Academy and in the filming of Behind the Orange Curtain, which highlights mainly prescription drug overdoses, primarily opiates, is that all of those kids, not all, but almost all of the kids that are highlighted in the documentary, and many of the kids we see coming into Newport Academy, the first drug they took was an ADHD stimulant medication. We see about 60% of kids that come through Newport Academy are on one, mostly multiple medications, as Dr. Mate was alluding to, is that they'll be put on an Adderall, and then they'll be put on an antidepressant, and then it just compounds each other. And so we see about two-thirds of our kids that come to Newport Academy are on pharmaceutical medications for one diagnosis or another. And about half of those have some sort of Adderall diagnosis, whether it's legitimate or not. What we do is we'll typically take kids off of these medications because there is no baseline and there is no real test that has been done to give a proper diagnosis. And then we'll be able to have a baseline to see if we need, these kids do in fact need medications. And only about 30% of kids leave Newport Academy on medications.
Only have 10 seconds, but I want to go back to John Edwards. You're suing Harvard University. What do you want to see happen?
Well, for me, and particularly to the questions being asked today, I want to get the answer to the question is, you know, I agree with what Alan said exactly. At one level, these medications do have a purpose, but they're to address serious issues. And one of the questions I have related to Johnny that I've not had answered is how do you have a 4.0, or they're very close to that at Harvard, and be considered to have something like attention deficit disorder? I would think that's all you need to know. And you don't need to be hunting.
John Edwards, we have to leave it there. And I want to thank Abra Mate and Alan Schwartz, as well as Jameson Monroe. That does it for the broadcast. We'll continue this discussion. I'm Ian Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
The This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, December 15th. The Harlem Gospel Choir will be at B.B. King's Manhattan, 2 p.m. The Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra with Wynton Marsalis will be at the Stoller Center for the Arts, right here, Stony Brook University, 7 p.m. The Bob Lepley Bebop Band will be at Treme Blues and Jazz Bar in Islip, 7 p.m. 52nd Street Jazz Band will be at Big Daddy's in Massapequa, 12:30. Stephanie Remble will be at Barb's in Brooklyn at 9. On your concert billboard for Monday, December 16th, Aaron Combs will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 1, 10 p.m. Brain Cloud will be at Barb's in Brooklyn, 7 p.m. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, December 17th, Andy Suzuki and The Method will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Manhattan, Stage 2, 8:15. Slavic Soul Party will be at Barb's of Brooklyn, 9 p.m. Danny Keen will be at Ashford & Simpson Sugar Bar, Manhattan, at 9. The Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village presents a film, Linda Ronstadt, at 7 p.m. Looking ahead to Wednesday, December 18th, Hoochie Coochie Men will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Manhattan, Stage 1, 11 p.m.
Tune in throughout the day, each day, to hear Concert Billboard on the air or see it at the WUSB website at wusb.fm/CBB. It's a service of WUSB Stony Brook.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 4 minutes after 6 o'clock. And that means it's high time we start Off the Wall. Thank you. And a very good evening to everybody. Program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this snowy Tuesday evening. Wasn't supposed to snow today, was it? I was very surprised. All of a sudden, all this snow falling on the ground, icy conditions. I love it. This is what winter should be. It's December. It's not winter yet, but it is December, and it doesn't usually happen like this down in New York. Usually we have to, or in this part of New York anyway, we have to wait until sometimes January, even February. Sometimes we don't get snow at all. But this year, we're off to a good start. Two snowfalls now in a week. Oh, they're not very severe, but it's interesting to see the evolution. It happens every year. It's like we forget what snow is. But the first hint of snow, there all of a sudden is a storm watch on all the TV channels. And people are concerned. Everybody runs to the store, buys all the milk, because that's what you do. When it snows outside, you sit inside and you drink gallons of milk for some reason. Never could understand that. Whenever I go into the supermarket, and I'm not going because I'm panicking, I'm just going because I'm bored and I want to get something. Usually I'm in and out of there in about 90 seconds. But I always notice the certain parts of the store are wiped bare. So it's really kind of bizarre. Yeah, there's going to be half an inch of snow overnight. Well, we gotta stock up, and we might be stuck inside for 3 hours. Who knows? It just the habits of people really mystify me sometimes. But that's the first snowfall of the year, the really tiny, minor one that might result in something. Probably won't. Might see a snowflake in the sky. Somebody's going to overturn an SUV or something on the side of a road. And then the second storm comes, and that's going to be a little bit worse. And yeah, there's attention to that as well, a little bit of panic. But then it starts happening a little bit more frequently and a little bit more severely. And people just stop paying attention after a while and start adjusting. And you see this, if you go to a city like Buffalo, for instance, or anywhere in Canada, you will see that people just deal with it. Oh, snow, okay, yeah, well, just be careful driving, or not, if we feel like wrecking our cars. But it doesn't become the headline, you know, the end-all of your day. It's just a fact of life. And I think we're sort of moving into that now, because This snow that's falling right now, I didn't hear about it, and people aren't really talking about it that much on the radio, so we're kind of like, okay, yeah, it's winter, deal, and that's how it should be. And I hope the winter keeps up like this. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass to get around, I know that, especially for me, but I'll put my money where my mouth is. If I have to walk places instead of drive places, I'll do that. So, yeah, winter seems to be here, and it's a cool thing. What's especially cool about it is that, well, we get spring, we get summer, and we get autumn as well. So, you know, it's a variety. Variety is the spice of life. While the music was playing, just now, sometimes what I do is I just go onto a browser and kind of get lost. And I got really lost on eBay just now. Do you know, have you seen this? This apparently just happened. George Zimmerman, you remember him? He's the guy that shot the unarmed kid in Florida and got away with it and then got in trouble for getting into it with his girlfriend. And it's just a non-ending train wreck here. But this guy is selling a painting on eBay. I didn't know he could paint, and I still don't know he can paint. But he is selling this, and I just heard about this, and I couldn't believe it, but the bidding on this one painting is up to $110,000. $110,000. Now, does this guy have any real skill, or is it just based on the fame of being in the news? You know, I just, I don't understand this at all. Okay, I'm reading some questions and answers about the item. What are the dimensions? Is it oil on canvas? Thanks for the question. Basically, he thanks everybody who asks the question. The painting is 18 by 24 on stretched canvas. Your friend, GZ. That's a bit presumptuous, don't you think? You ask the guy a question and all of a sudden he becomes your friend. Not sure that's what I would want. Hi, I'm interested in the painting. Was wondering how big it was. Well, he just answered that question, didn't he? I guess same time they asked the same question. Also, did you sign the painting? Thanks and have a good day. Well, that sounds like somebody who does want to be his friend. And the response, thanks for your inquiry. The painting is 18 by 24, and yes, it is signed, smiley face, your friend, GZ. Oh, boy. Here's another question. Just wanted to tell you, we all love you and stand behind you. And this is definitely somebody who wants to get in good with him. You have so many people on your side. I hope you know that. Not really anything about, question about the item like eBay is requesting. It's got nothing to do with the item, but he answered it anyway. Thank you so much for the words of kindness and support. I do know how many great Americans are still here. I run into at least 3 to 5 a day. Probably runs over them, too, that go out of their way to tell me the same. Your friend, GZ. Okay, and the final question, and this does have something to do with the painting. What is the medium, oil or acrylic? Thanks. Thanks for your question. The paint was donated to me. The paint was donated? Really? Couldn't get your own paint? Wow. Well, you'll be able to get plenty of paint now if you sell this painting for over $100,000. Or maybe not after you get into a civil lawsuit, but that's for later. The paint was donated to me by a great friend. JS are the initials, apparently. As far as I know, it is Johann Strauss is the only one I can think of, JS. As far as I know, it is regular household latex paint. I know it's not the fanciest, but it is what we had, and I needed to put these visions on. Oh, I have to continue reading that because that's a lengthy. Wait a minute. Why? No, hold on a second. My phone is speaking to me, and it's giving out a phone number, and I don't want it to do that, and I didn't ask you to speak. Yeah, okay. I don't know who did that. Okay, it's great when technology goes haywire. Where was I? Okay, I need to put these visions onto the blank canvas as soon as possible. Well, that's a real disaster as far as a sentence goes with tenses and things like that. But regardless, yeah, this is truly an artist at work. $110,000. So this really sends a message to me. You don't have to have any real ability as far as I can see. Is that the painting? It just says God, one nation with liberty and justice for all. It's a flag. It basically is a flag with those words typed onto it. That's the painting? $110,000. So all you have to do is get in the news, do something horrible, and try to bail yourself out with an auction on eBay. And I'm looking at the history. I don't really understand eBay totally. There are people there that major in eBay in school, and they understand every little nuance of it. But I'm looking at the bid history, and you see that it starts out pretty low, probably a lot closer to what the painting is actually worth. 99 cents was the starting price, and then somebody bid $99. Someone else bid $100. And of course, they could have bid more. The maximum bid thing kicks in at some point. Went from 100, 150, 169. Took quite a while before it got over 1,000. And then it jumped from 2,500 to 3,888, then to 5,000, then to 8,000. And then it got into the double digits of thousands. I keep seeing the same eBay ID going from 20,000, 21,000, 22,000 consecutively all the way up to 30,000. It's all the same person all in a row. I'm not sure exactly how that's possible. It seems like, how are you bidding and always being the person bidding the next amount? Shouldn't you be bidding against somebody? Again, I don't totally understand eBay, but I do notice that there are relatively few people bidding for this thing. And I see the same. It doesn't give you the entire ID, but I see M, 3 stars, and a 2, so I assume that's all the same person, and they bid something like 10 times in a row several times. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that, but wow. $110,000 for a painting. from somebody who doesn't paint. And, you know, I'm not going to judge. I'm not really – well, I am going to judge. I think it looks really kind of – even his signature looks kind of amateurish. Regardless, so there's actually a new story about this. This actually is a bit outdated. The leading bid stood at $99,966 as of Tuesday morning, with four more days to go in the auction, so who knows where it's going to go after this. The painting depicts part of an American flag washed in blue and includes the words God, One Nation, with Liberty and Justice for All printed in the flag stripes. You know, I've devoted enough time to that. It's it's interesting. It's humorous. But it's also ridiculous. More important are purges. And wow, what a week in North Korea it has been, with the purging of Kim Jong-un's uncle, the execution of his uncle. And it's kind of freaky and scary, but that is how life is over there. And I find it fascinating. It's like real-life Game of Thrones, you know? It's happening right in front of us, sort of. But it's very mysterious. And you have to read into all kinds of statements, who appears where, what has happened in the past. This is something, actually, this story helped me find something that I knew happened in the past, but I could not find it for the life of me. I remember long, long time ago, I think back in the 90s, I think, there was this strange report. This was when Kim Il-sung was actually back in the 80s, excuse me. Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea and their eternal leader, was still in power. But I remember this news story where they reported that all this somber music started playing from loudspeakers on the border. And there were reports that the great leader had died. And it turned out to be fake. And nobody knew why. Nobody knew what was going on. Was it some kind of weird power struggle in North Korea? Were they just trying to mess with the heads of the people on the border? And then, you know, after he really did die, and after Kim Jong-il came into power, I was trying to find evidence of this story anywhere. And it's hard to search for. How do you search for it? Kim Il-sung death report, fake. Everything I tried, I could not find the story. And sometimes this happens where something gets reported, you hear it, you know it's out there someplace, but you can't find it and you can't prove it. And sure, sometimes it's just your imagination and it never really happened, but sometimes it did and it gets buried. That's why you have to save every single newspaper. Stack them up someplace. But I found the story because somebody, somewhere, made a reference to it and gave one other bit of information, maybe a year, maybe a name, something. And I was able to track down a Los Angeles Times report from November 22nd, 1986. A U.S. official here said Friday that this week's South Korean announcement of the reported death of North Korean President Kim Il-sung started with a report that originated in the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. That intelligence report about Kim's death, the existence of which has not been disclosed previously, was the source of information that alerted the Korean government to be on the lookout for anything unusual, said the official, who steadfastly refused to be identified. U.S. diplomats and military officers informed their South Korean counterparts Sunday morning of the report, which U.S. officials believed should be taken seriously, he said. Several hours later, South Korean troops in the 151-mile-long demilitarized zone separating North Korea and South Korea started hearing what they said were unusual broadcasts from communist propaganda loudspeakers. Sad music was played on some of the loudspeakers. That's according to the Korean Defense Ministry. And that might sound like a North Korean agency, but it's actually a South Korean agency, the Korean Defense Ministry. Others started praising the achievements of great leader Kim Il-sung, the ministry added. From 8 p.m. Sunday, when one loudspeaker announced that Kim, 74 years old at the time, had been shot to death on a train, until 10:04 a.m. on Tuesday, broadcast indicating that Kim was dead continued at a total of 36 different locations in the DMZ. On Monday morning, when it announced the contents of the reported loudspeaker broadcast, the ministry said nothing about the Sunday U.S. intelligence report. American officials here still have not mentioned it while speaking for attribution. The U.S. official said the key intelligence report, although about Kim Il-sung's death, was different from an unconfirmed rumor that originated in Tokyo on Saturday, but it lent credence to the Tokyo rumor. And although the official refused to disclose details about the report or where it originated, he indicated it was not based upon monitoring of radio broadcast in North Korea, which he said remained normal. It was, he said, a report you had to take seriously. And it goes on and on and on. But you have to wonder, did it really happen? Nobody has a recording of any of this. I remember it being reported. But as they said, radio was normal, and you could record shortwave radio, you could record domestic radio even. So there's no evidence there. The only evidence was on these 36 loudspeakers around the border on the DMZ, and nobody thought to record that. So the weirdness has been going on for quite some time. That was 1986. And of course, Kim Il-sung really did die in the early 1990s. Strangeness continued with Kim Jong-il and now Kim Jong-un. And you have to wonder, what is really going on? Obviously, there's no real way to know what's really going on. You know, that is what's so bizarre and fascinating about that place. And keep in mind, too, that it's not that unusual in two ways. Number one, Confucian tradition in that part of the world focuses on a leader that you follow no matter what. And in South Korea, it's now more a corporate type of a thing. You follow a corporation no matter what. I'm not kidding. They really do revere corporations more than individual leaders. I'm not sure which is more unhealthy. But you can trace back in for centuries and centuries, and you will find all kinds of regimes where people follow a leader unquestioningly. And there are matters of honor, matters of tradition. The only things that have really changed are the uniforms, the propaganda, and levels of brutality. So it's not anything really new for that particular part of the world. It's also not new for Stalinist regimes or various communist regimes over the years. You look at Stalinist Russia, you look at communist China, you look at any totalitarian regime, you will see things like this. You will see purges. You will see people erased from history. George Orwell wrote about this in the 1940s, when he wrote 1984, people becoming unpersons. And it was based on reality. And that was before North Korea really existed. So, yeah, Jang Song-thak, I believe, is how you pronounce his uncle's name. And if you look around now, if you have access to North Korean propaganda that's going out live, you will notice that he has been erased. He does not show up in pictures, in videos, which means they have some pretty cool editing tools that can just do that. Sometimes they just zoom in so you don't see him anymore. But this guy was completely purged. And in a way, and this is what's unusual, in a way that was more public than purges of the past. In the past, people would just disappear. You didn't know what would happen to them. In this particular case, you saw him getting arrested. And it was announced throughout the media in North Korea that he had been executed, that he was a traitor, that all the problems in the country were attributable to him, that he was planning a coup, that he was planning to overthrow the government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And boy, you know, when they tear into somebody, you'd best believe they don't let up. It's like Shakespearean curses, the way they, when they insult you, it's almost worth being insulted by North Korean propaganda people because, wow, they will do a number on you. I think there are some websites, actually, that if you plug in somebody's name, they will respond with a North Korean-type condemnation of that person. They will say he's a running dog lackey of the bourgeois. Basically, it'll just go on forever and ever. Very flowery ways of speaking. And very, very satisfying, I'm sure, if you are tearing somebody down. But the question is, what was this guy really up to? And we may never know. It's quite possible that he was up to absolutely nothing, that he was just Kim Jong-un's uncle looking out for him. But in Kim Jong-un's eyes, he was a little too powerful. He had too many connections. He had been around, after all, since his grandfather's time. And if he wasn't plotting specifically, he could, or others around him could. Or maybe just simply a message had to be sent to show who was in charge. And what better way to do that than to go to the number two person? Number two. It's like Obama saying, Biden, you know what? You're getting a little too big for your britches. Here, meet the firing squad. You know, that's basically what happened. And that sends a message to the people. Wow, we better not cross this guy. He plays for keeps. So you also have to ask yourself, what would have happened had a coup actually occurred? Had Kim Jong-un's uncle overthrown him and placed himself in power? What would we be saying about his uncle? What would be different? Was there any indication this guy would open the country up more than it has been, or simply be even more rigid and Stalinist? See, now, the way we are playing it now in our media, and you best believe that our media has its share of propaganda, too. And if you don't believe that, just watch 60 Minutes from a couple of days ago, and you'll see a puff piece on the NSA that you simply will not believe. Fortunately, a federal court tore that down yesterday, but we'll get into that on another show. But yeah, everything that we report is tinged with bias and misinformation and an agenda. It's always been the way media works. You just have to be able to see through it. You have to be able to question, which is what the media is supposed to be doing, is questioning. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But in this particular case, his uncle is being seen as the poor victim. How brutal. Kim Jong-un killing his uncle. And that's the way they make it seem like he actually strangled him or did something to him. He was the one who did it. Obviously, he could have stopped it, and he didn't. But in their eyes, they went through a system. They went through a very quick system of a fast trial with three judges and execution right out the back door. Efficient and speedy. But the way it's portrayed in this country, and it might be accurate, it might not be, we don't know, is that his uncle was the victim, and obviously he was the victim of being killed, but he was somebody that was the victim of this nastiness. And perhaps if he had been in power, it would have just gone the other way, and he would have killed Kim Jong-un. So who would have been more brutal? You don't know. This is how it's like Game of Thrones. You don't know. You know, or The Sopranos or whatever. It's just, it's like every single HBO series you can imagine. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to watch all this. And there was a piece today in The Telegraph, 10 ways North Korea's dear leader is different, and Kim Jong-un being the dear leader, as was his father. In the 2 years since he came to power, Kim Jong-un has wrought significant changes on his nation. Few of those changes have benefited his 24.76 million subjects. And here are some ways he's different. Previous leaders of North Korea have kept their wives and mistresses firmly in the background. Kim Jong-un has torn that rule up and began to parade Ri Sol-ju around from the summer of 2012, just 6 months after inheriting the leadership of the nation from his father, Kim Jong-il. Mrs. Ri is regularly pictured accompanying her husband on his inspection tours of industrial and entertainment facilities, chic with her designer label clothes and handbags, although there are reports the fashion statements are copies. We don't know. She vanished from sight in October of 2012 and apparently gave birth to a daughter around the end of the year. Another way he's different, gulags have been expanded. Satellite images show that the regime has embarked on a massive expansion program of its already extensive network of labor camps and prisons, which hold as many as 130,000 inmates in appalling conditions. A report by Amnesty International in early December suggested that new housing blocks have been built at Camp 16, which covers some 216 square miles. So that's something that's increasing, and also increasing ruthlessness, as we've seen. To stamp out any form of dissent, Mr. Kim has become even more intolerant of alternative opinions than his famously stern father. That's the perception. According to intelligence reports from South Korea, there were 17 public executions in 2012, the first full year that Mr. Kim was in power. The most high-profile execution to date this year has been Jang Sung-thak, Mr. Kim's uncle and mentor, and an official so high in the national hierarchy that he was believed to be untouchable. More heads are likely to roll. Mr. Kim also ordered the execution of a former mistress, Hang Sung-wal, along with a dozen other musicians and singers from North Korea's three most popular pop bands. All were machine-gunned, while their families were forced to watch after being accused of making videos of themselves performing sex acts and selling them. Again, these are statements coming from South Korea. So on the execution of the pop singer, there is doubt that ever even happened. But there are a number of other differences, such as... Okay, all right. You know, I'm turning this damn phone off because it just keeps talking to me. You know, smartphones are not that smart. They really aren't. Although, I got to say, this is kind of cool. There is basically an app that allows you to... If I can get control of the... Yeah, you see, this is exactly what I didn't want to have happen. Okay. You can basically use this app called TuneIn. What I'm doing now is I'm going to a location. You can go to any location. You pick a continent. Africa, Antarctica, Asia, Australasia, Central America. Well, that's not a continent, but regions of the world. I'm picking North America. All right? And then I can Bermuda, Canada, Caribbean Islands, Greenland, Mexico. There's the United States. I'm going to pick that. And now all these different states. Let me go down to New York. All right, I'm in New York now, and I can select Nassau, Suffolk County, Long Island. And look at this, a whole list of radio stations. There's 90.1 WUSB. I have selected it. And let's see what happens.
It just keeps talking to me. You know, smartphones are not that smart. They really aren't. Although, I got to say, this is kind of cool.
So, you see, I can do this. You can do this. Anyone who goes to this particular app can simply tune in to radio stations all throughout the world. I can go to, you know, I can't go to North Korea because they're not on here for some reason. But let's try something else. How about, hang on, I'm trying to get out of the United States. Let's go to Asia. Let's go to another interesting country. Mongolia. Yeah, that's a cool place. Ulaanbaatar. I'll pick that city. And... here's a Mongolian station at 95.7. Let's see if that actually comes in. It's fetching the playlist. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes, I mean, it is Mongolia, for God's sake. It's far away, and maybe they're not online. Maybe they're not even on the air. Yeah, it seems to be having some trouble with that one. Okay, no problem. I can simply go back and pick a different radio station. Let's pick this one over here. 102-something. Okay, here we go. So that's Mongolian radio, just like that. And you know what? You can be driving, you can be anywhere, and just turn this on. How cool is that? And that means you can take us any place. You can be in any part of the world, any part of the world, any time, and just turn us on using that app. I don't even know what we need a transmitter for anymore. What does anybody need a transmitter for if you can do this? Simply incredible. The thing is, though, we have to do it. We have to actually reach out and listen, you know, and it's a really cool thing to hear local radio from different places. You learn a lot about people. You learn a lot about climate, all sorts of developments in local news and things like that. It's important. You know what? I don't want to blabber on all night, and I'm sure nobody else wants that. So let's open up the phones. We have to go into delay to do that. So I'm going to go into delay by playing a special ID, and I hope this works this week. We'll see if it does. Our phone number is 631-632-6901. You can call that phone number from anywhere in the world. If you're listening on the TuneIn app or any other app, there's lots of other apps too, but that one really is kind of cool because you can select by region, by frequency. Also, it's like having a massive radio dial. I'd like to know if people are doing this in other parts of the world. And you know what? In our local area, too, where the signal's not so good, you can do this and get us crystal clear. Phone number, country code 1. Phone number is 631-632-6901. We'll see you in just one moment.
This is Tom Woods, author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And here we are, in delay, hopefully in delay. Again, phone number, 631-632-6901. You can tell my voice just isn't as high fidelity in delay. I'm not sure why that is. But it's a necessary thing. The FCC requires it. And far be it from us to question that. Yeah, of course, we have to wait for the phone calls to come in. And there is a slight delay, even more of a delay now because I'm in delay. But if you're listening online, yes, it takes a while. I've got to turn Mongolian radio off because that's on my phone now. I don't know how to do that. My phone doesn't even turn off when I want it to turn off. Sometimes you have to just bury it and hope that it doesn't make embarrassing noises. What else is going on? Croatia international player Josip Šimunić will miss the World Cup after being banned for 10 matches by FIFA for his pro-Nazi chants as he celebrated his country's qualification to the finals in Brazil next year. FIFA's disciplinary committee said on Monday that his chants following Croatia's 2-0 win over Iceland in a playoff match last month was discriminatory and offended the dignity of a group of persons concerning race, religion, or origin. Now get this, what he actually said, what he chanted, was Zadom. I think that's how you say it. Zadom? Zadum? I don't know. Which translated from Croatian means for the homeland. And the crowd responded, Spremni, which means ready, four times. For the homeland, ready. It doesn't sound like much, does it? Doesn't sound like that much. And, you know, if you look at the response to this, overwhelmingly people are like, what are you guys talking about? There's no harm here. There's nothing wrong with that. And it sure looks like that on the surface. But when you look into the history, this is exactly the kind of phrasing, word for word, that incited fascist mobs against other people. And it does contain meaning. And this guy knows that, and so does the crowd. That's more disturbing, that a crowd of people in a football stadium are diving into this. So suspending him is one step, but boy, there's a whole lot of other things that have to be done as well. And you can't back down on things like this. There's certain coded phrases that mean things to ugly mobs, and they have to be recognized and attacked when they are expressed. And we see it more and more in so many different places. So that's something to keep in mind. We have no phone calls? Really? Are we transmitting? Are we broadcasting anywhere? 631-632-6901. I'll leave delay if we don't get any phone calls, because I don't like the sound of my voice in delay that much anyway. Let's see. Okay, you know, I didn't want to get into this, but I guess if we have no calls, I can talk about this week's shooting. Yes, every week we have one. I found this this column in the Times where basically they go over. It's called the Gun Report. This is the Thanksgiving weekend edition. It goes on for something like 9 pages of just report after report after report. I'll just dive in on a couple of them. A 47-year-old man was shot and seriously wounded at a family Thanksgiving gathering in Ypsilanti, Michigan on Thursday. A man was shot by a thief while carrying a big-screen TV home from a Target in Las Vegas, Nevada, Thursday night. Brandon Varnes Harris, 28 years old, was shot to death in Winston-Salem Thursday night. Basically, this listing, one after another. And this is for 1 week. It just goes on for 9 pages. And I didn't think there was anything like this that that kept track of so many of these horrors that are going on. The most recent one taking place in another school in Colorado was crazy. And also, people have raised the point that, you know, this guy could have done damage with the machete he was carrying as well, or with the knife, and that's certainly true. And the gun issue is just one part of all this. You hear about mass stabbings in all kinds of places. Of course, the difference is that it's a lot easier to subdue somebody, and you can't basically get away with as much as you get away with when you have rapid-fire weapons. There is a big difference, obviously. So you have to basically look at where somebody's head is at, what makes somebody freak out like this, and how easy it is to get a hold of these things. Hey, we have a phone call. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi, Emmanuel. This is Marcel from the Netherlands.
Marcel from the Netherlands. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. You were talking about TuneIn, and I often listen to WUSB on TuneIn when I'm driving my car.
Is it really as simple as I find it to be?
Yeah, it's really that simple.
It's incredible. I mean, you can just go throughout the entire world and listen to local radio stations everywhere. And it's not like, you know, I listen to CBC on satellite radio in my car, but that's a national feed. And you can also go and listen to local stations. I was listening to something in Kamloops, British Columbia, and hearing the temperature and various other local information, which I thought was really cool. And you can do that in other countries, you know, here at BBC, local stations in various parts of England, and of course in the Netherlands, you can hear all sorts of things. This is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, well, it's really great. I've been using it for a while now, and it's amazing to listen to different cultures, to different ways of even giving the news and stuff like that, because every country has their own traditions as well. It's really really funny fun to hear that on the radio then.
Yes.
See, that's simple. Just click, select a country you want to listen to, and then dig down. And this area sounds interesting. Let's listen how they do radio.
I mean, there's a lot of crap too. You'll hear all kinds of bad radio, but that's the nature of the beast, you know.
That's always the case.
Yeah.
That's also on the FM dial.
Uh huh. Yeah. Very very true. But you know, you'll hear all sorts of things. Like I mentioned CBC yesterday. I was listening to a great program they have called As It Happens. And yesterday they had a 15-minute piece on this woman, I think she was in British Columbia too, who found a bobcat in her basement. Basically what she and the RCMP had to do to get the bobcat to leave. It was incredibly interesting and funny, but the kind of thing you don't hear, because it's all about, you know, selling commercials or reporting the news, and we don't really take the time to just hear a good story every now and then.
Oh, that's indeed. It seems to be the trend all over, actually, that a lot of Asians are actually not really interested in the news anymore, it seems.
Right, absolutely.
My experience.
Anything going on in the Netherlands that we should know about?
Well, we are wrapping up the Netherlands-Russia year, which didn't really go that well because the Russians got angry at the Dutch and the Dutch were angry at the Russians, and it's been a really bizarre time, really.
What is this all about?
Well, this year was supposed to be celebrating, I don't know how long, but we had a long-standing tradition with Russia. A lot of history in the Netherlands has also to do with Russia. I'm not entirely sure what the details are, but this year was supposed to be the time of celebrating that. Then a Russian politician did something bad in our country, and we arrested him. And it's been really bizarre, really.
That sounds kind of basically people just getting angry for no particular reason, or just reasons that can easily be overcome.
Instead of really celebrating it, he ended up bickering, and that's just really weird.
Wow. You know, we heard nothing about that.
No. Well, yeah, I can imagine that.
Wow. Anything else? How is it? Cold over there yet?
Well, we've had a bit of snow a few weeks ago, but now it's not too cold. It's not actually winter here now.
What part of Netherlands are you in?
I'm in the southwest of the Netherlands.
Okay.
Close to the Dutch coastline, actually, and it's balmy here. It's about 8 degrees centigrade.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty.
Sure, but that's in Fahrenheit, so I'm sorry. But it's
about I'd say in the 50s or close, maybe just below 50.
Yeah, I believe so. But it's warm. It feels warm outside, and it should be colder.
Well, you know, hopefully it will be, because that's what winter's all about. You guys, you know, in Amsterdam, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but the ice races, remember those?
Yeah.
Basically, the canals would freeze up and people would skate through the canals. When's the last time that actually happened?
I can't remember. It's been a while, I think.
It used to happen almost every year, and then it got warmer or something, and it hadn't happened in a while. I'm not sure. It might have happened recently, but the last I heard, it was there were long periods between these races.
Yeah. Well, there's also another skating race that Dutch people always hope that will happen. It's called the 11 City Tour. It's up in the north of the Netherlands, and when it actually happens, but the ice has to be 40 centimeters thick. So before that can actually happen, it has to really be really cold for a very long time.
Right, right.
That's rare. But if it ever happens, then there are some 10,000 people there on the ice doing a race along the 11 cities of Friesland.
Okay.
So
interesting.
That's been about 8 years ago that it was held last, I think.
Uh-huh. Well, there's always Scandinavia, where I'm sure these things happen all the time, because it still stays cold up there. Hey, Marcel, we're out of time. Are you going to the CCC this year?
No, I'm afraid I can't. Work issues. I have a lot of deadline. Well, I have a big deadline that's actually in the beginning of January, so I...
Yeah, I sympathize. I have to stay here as well, and... I'll be here next week for a Christmas Eve show, and apparently this year Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve fall on the same day, so I'm going to be doing a show on both days.
Wow.
Isn't that fun? And you know what? I do a show the day after, too, so I'll be doing a show on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. This is a jackpot for me this year, and everybody else, I'm sure, will be traveling and having fun.
Oh, yeah. I sympathize with you.
Yeah, it's going to be just great. I'm looking forward to it.
When your show starts on New Year's Eve, it will be just past midnight here.
You know, we've done shows like that where basically we're broadcasting live from the streets of Amsterdam, where everybody's going nuts with fireworks and things like that. And we're broadcasting in New York, and it's really, It's an eye-opener, that's for sure. I'm not sure we'll be doing that this year, but we'll try.
Okay, well, have fun.
All right, thanks. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. Well, we're out of time. Wish we'd gotten more calls, but I understand. You know, we've been begging for money now for months, and maybe everybody is sort of tuning to all those other stations in the world. But I hope you come back and give us a call maybe in weeks ahead, especially next week when it's going to be extremely lonely. It'd be nice to hear from people. Meanwhile, you can write to us, otw@2600.com. There's more I'd like to get into, obviously more discussions. That whole Colorado thing begs discussion as well. And I'm sure there'll be other things to discuss, too, over this holiday season. But you know what? I want to go out with a song we've played before, but I think this is a different mix of it. With North Korea in the news, it's just, it's been on my mind. This is the reunification song that's a big hit over there, and I think could be a big hit over here if it was played every hour on commercial radio stations, but who knows? Who knows what the future holds there? Just very bizarre and strange. Again, write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll see you next week. Good night. Stay tuned for Finn. Thank you.
oh man, kids, this is Finn and Finn's Revolution. It is a couple of minutes after 7 p.m. on this very slick, messy Tuesday evening out there. Tonight we have Pete Bune of the Gooligans, plus some guests talking about the Gooligans. That's right. And then, of course, we have John Baumgartner of Speed the Plow. Stay tuned. Just a few moments from now, Mr. Pete Bune of the Gooligans, with a few of the Gooligans, shall be here, and we'll talk about their wonderful program and a great benefit they have coming up. Meanwhile, of course, this last Sunday night, we did get a chance to check out Tammy Faye Starlight at Joe's Pub doing her Nico show, and, you know, I was just so inspired by her version of this particular tune that I had to play it. This is Nico with Jimmy Page and Brian Jones, and Nico's first single, Way Back When, right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Won't deny your mystery. Maybe if you
Hey, guys, just a few moments from now, the Gooligans will be on the air with us, and just about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes from now. Meanwhile, here's another tune from the Velvet Underground, brand new release. And I do say a brand new release, White Light, White Heat, Deluxe Edition Outtakes. This is Run, 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 live in New York City, 1967, right here on WUSB Stony Brook. A few moments, the Gooligans on the air.
Said on the day, so my soul must be saved. Gonna go down Union Square. You never know. Find this, yeah, run, 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 run. Take a drag or two. Run, 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 run. Chips are dead for you. Hey, what do? Teenage bear, God knows. Hard nail boots, wrapped around her toes. When she clean, all the angels scream. They didn't know. Make a siege and run, 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 run. Take a drag or two. Run, 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 run. Chips are dead for you. Now what do? Get up tight, get a nickel bag, or get yourself an headlight. Go on to 40 on the Edmund Square. You never know who you meet there. She had to run, 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 run. Pick a jack or two. Run, 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 run. Chips are dead for you. Tell what to do. It's never early and it's getting late. Everything is wasted and I can't get straight. Going on to 7, and nowhere it's fine. Everybody knows I'm online. Yeah, run, 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 run. Take a